And you may be seated. We'll continue learning that hymn. As we continue to struggle with our 9:30 and 11 o'clock crowds, which are wonderful problems to have, I might highlight that in the summer, 8 o'clock still has lots of room, and sun comes up very early, and some of you might want to be thinking of that. Another input we're having is that we're suggesting that some of you might want to enjoy the fellowship of carpooling to church. We're getting some real tension in the community with taking over literally everything from here to El Camino. And if some of you would like to help us by just simply carpooling a little bit, we think that could be a gift to our neighbors who, like the bank next door, nobody can get to the pay teller for the whole morning of during worship, and that's frustrating. And this is the kind of needs that we're creating in the community. So do think of these things of ministry even as you worship this morning. Today you're going to take home with you, I hope, at least one truth. And that's the truth that God might seem slow, but he's never late. I'd like to believe that many of us here this morning are here because we need to hear a word of encouragement about God's timing versus our timing. I sometimes think that God is like a contractor in our minds. We feel he's made us a promise on a date he'll be finished. But the date comes and he's not finished, and it goes on and on and on. And we're very tempted then to take things into our own hands and sometimes do some pretty awful things that are against his commandments. And perhaps some of you are on the verge of doing that today, and maybe that's just exactly why God brought you to church. Would you pray with me as we get into the story and see what he has to say to us? Our Father, we pray now that you will take this ancient book and through the miracle of your Holy Spirit, make it a living, vital truth for us today. Something that we can use, something that will protect us, something that will guide us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know if this will only apply to the type A's in our midst, but I imagine it hits many of us in the form of a question. Have you ever been in a situation where you wished that God would hurry up? Unfortunately, I spend much of my Christian life impatiently waiting on the Lord for one thing after another. And no matter how faithful he is, I have a difficult time learning a lesson that he's slow, but he's never late. It's frustrating to me, in fact, that he is almost always slower in responding to me than I expected him to be. I can't remember many times, in fact, I was racking my brain this morning, I can't remember any time where God was early in terms of answers to my prayer. But, well, a few of you are in that camp. But here's a fact of faith, again, ad nauseum maybe. God might seem slow, but he's never late. He always comes with enough, even if it's a photo finish. You and I pray for many things, and then we wait, and then we wait upon God for answers. And you know what really hurts is sometimes years go by and he does not seem to respond at all. There's been an issue in my life that I have been praying for years, feeling God should have done something about it yesterday, and he didn't. We reach points of pain where we say, God, I can't take it another week. Do something. And the week passes and nothing happens. However, our Heavenly Father over and over again provides the strength to carry on beyond the point where we thought we could carry on. But unfortunately, rather than trust his timing, learn from these experiences, if you're like me, we tend to bang our heads against the wall. And on the next issue, we still attempt to make God conform to our schedules. And brothers and sisters, God will not submit to us, not because he's stubborn, but because he is God. Remember these words of Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Your life and mine are part of a divine process, a plan. And that plan operates according to a divine timeline. One which God will not change, no matter how much we yell and scream. Many of us in a lifetime never make peace with that truth, and therefore we continue to suffer needlessly. Or, what's worse, we jump in ahead of our Heavenly Father, take matters into our own hands, and then do what our text warns. We bring disaster upon ourselves. And this is the point where I'd have you open your Bibles and let's look at this strange story from Saul with all those hard-to-pronounce words where, as if you were listening to the scripture, you wonder how you're ever going to get a sermon out of that. First, situations in daily life that seem to need immediate divine intervention are common to all of us. Look at verses 5 to 8. They describe such a crisis for King Saul. In this sense, Philistines were launching attack against Israel. Enemy troops and chariots had gathered in numbers like the sand of the sea. King Saul knew that his situation was out of control and that he needed divine help, not yesterday, but right now. Now the prophet Samuel told Saul he would return in 7 days and offer sacrifice before they went into battle. A sacrifice that would assure divine blessing for that particular war. Well, for reasons unknown, Samuel delayed his arrival. Meanwhile, Saul's troops were beginning to panic, and our text says, if you'll read, they were hiding in caves, in thickets, in cliffs, in cellars, and in pits. Saul waited, and he waited. No doubt he had prayed, God, get Samuel here, will you? Tell him to hurry up. Many of us are familiar with that same kind of pressure of waiting on the Lord. The enemies, whatever they might be out there, are attacking. Our world is crumbling, falling apart. For example, some of you businessmen and women are listening to the pulpit and you're taking God into your office. And you prayed for wisdom about a decision. Or you've prayed for a closure to a vital transaction. And you've prayed and you want God involved, but no voice is heard. And you sit there and you feel very forsaken, almost betrayed. Because God, you said you wanted to be involved in my business. Where are you? Some are waiting by bedsides today, waiting for healing after you begged and prayed God to touch this loved one. And if he has a heart at all, wouldn't he hurry up and ease their pain? Others are waiting in marriages torn by conflict, begging God for healing. And the divine silence seems to deny everything that you and I know about divine love. Single adults wait. We pray for that special person desiring to be married, but no one appears. And meanwhile, the loneliness is unbearable. And the temptations to chuck God's commandment and just go the way of the single world and the way of the married world, by the way, for those who are unfaithful. Why not? We tried it. We're going God's way and he's failed us. Why not? Life's slipping by. The troops are coming. Life's crumbling. Let's take matters into our own hands and just jump in. We cry out for God's help, and his response is so slow that maybe even this morning you feel like Saul felt, your support system's crumbling, and your faith is breaking into tiny little pieces. And you think God might be there when you get to heaven, but you wonder, does he really know you and care about you in this life at all? Well, we go on. We set deadlines beyond which we feel we cannot go. We come to church, we hear a sermon like this, and then we say, okay, God, I'll give you till weekend. And after that, I just can't do it. And weekend comes, and you're forced to go anyway, and it hurts, and you get more bitter and more angry. And about that time, we want to scream, God, where are you? Why don't you come and help me when I cry out to you? Where are you? Do you hear my prayers at all? Don't you see my marriage is crumbling? My morals are crumbling. My child's in need. We're broke. My business is going down the tubes. I don't know what you've been crying out to God for. But like Saul, your world is coming down and God doesn't seem to be there. My experience indicates, and Scripture would affirm, God is usually slower than we expect him to be. Slower, but he is never, never late. Our problem, you see, is that we seek to make him conform to our timing. We want to be God. But God is God, and he will not bow to our demands as his children. This verse is true. I read it again. It's Isaiah 55, 8 to 9. If you're like me, maybe you need to memorize it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Don't you see, that's either true or it's life's greatest myth. If God is up there with a plan operating and we're down here and we don't know that plan and have to trust him, that's the Christian posture. The option is, God isn't there with any plan at all, so let's quit this nonsense of talking about trusting him and get on with life and do it ourselves. That's the issue here in the story. And Saul opted to get on with it himself. Going on, in fact, our text tells us what not to do in times when God seems slow and unresponsive. Saul decided he wouldn't wait for Samuel any longer, so in a moment of passion, he says, "Bring me the burnt offering and the peace offering." And no sooner had the coals of that fire cooled, and Samuel finally arrived, saying, "Saul, what have you done?" The king had offered holy sacrifice, an act only the priest could perform. But caught in pressure and fear of waiting, Saul stopped trusting God, and he became a god unto himself, and he violated the divine commandment. He must have said, "Look what's happening. My troops are scattering. The enemy is attacking. Maybe this whole thing about God being over Israel is a myth anyway. Let's just offer the sacrifice, go through the ritual, but then get down to our humanistic feeling that God will help those who help themselves, and we'll get on with the battle. Stop the faith stuff and the waiting stuff and all this ritual. It's a myth." So Saul proceeded to offer a sacrifice to God that was a ritual for the sake of his men rather than an act of his personal faith. Now you and I are tempted to make similar faithless responses in pressure situations. Doesn't secular society tell us, stop fooling around with prayer? If you have a need, use your head, work hard, take action, and get on with it. Ultimately, any problem can be solved. Can you imagine a businessman getting on his knees in his office and praying to God and what the secular world out there would say about that? Foolishness! Can you imagine somebody struggling with a moral decision and there the whole crowd's doing everything that their lusts and passions say, and here we're on our knees struggling, "God, keep me pure and keep me whole. Someday you wanted to have me keep myself for something." But what? Nobody's there, and society says, "Nuts, your life's slipping away. Forget it. Join us." That's what Saul was up against. The battle was raging, and it's always easy to take stuff into our own hands and do it our way. But as Christians, we've been given the commandment of God, and if we'll do it his way and not violate the commandment, supposedly, and we who are Christians know it for true, that ultimately it will be best for us to have waited, and disaster will always follow us if we take matters into our own hands. You see, pursued to its logical conclusion, the philosophy that says, take matters into your own hands, don't wait for God, are saying human beings don't need God at all or his commandments. So the issue in the text becomes a question for all of us here today. Who do we trust in times of crisis? Do we trust God or do we trust ourselves? Tough times strip off our religious masks and they reveal the focus of our trust. Saul's faith dissolved when the chips were down. God was okay as long as he danced to Saul's tune and to Saul's timing. When God exerted his authority to do things in his own divine time and way, Saul threw his faith out the door. And brothers and sisters, too many Christians do the same thing. We parade here to church, we go through all the ritual, but in the nitty-gritty of life out there, when God doesn't come through and do things our way, in our timing, we're more than ready to violate his commandments so we can grab our life right while we've got it, take the brass ring, we only go around once, so let's do it, whether it be in business, personal life, marriage, etc. And so the question, what do you do when God seems slow? Suppose you're confronting a problem this morning. You've done everything humanly you can do, and then you've prayed, and now you wait, and nothing's going on. God isn't doing anything, at least by your instincts. Well, the question is, do you trust your instincts, and are you going to leave here and take charge and act as if your Lord isn't there? Or are you going to wait in faith, saying with Job, what the world would call foolish, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If I go broke, I'll go broke rather than violate his commandments for my business." If I have to stay single and celibate the rest of my life, I will do that before I'll violate his commandment. If I have to hang into this marriage and never have any of my dreams fulfilled, I will do that before I'll forsake his commandment. If he allows this loved one to die, though he slay that loved one or me, I will trust him because somehow in heaven I'll see that it was okay. You see, our God is not a God for the little things. Our God is a God for the deepest dimensions of pain and hurt and temptation we feel in this life. And we either trust him then or let's not trust him at all. What do you do when God seems slow? You who've known me for a long time know I'm personally a guy who has a difficult time waiting for anything. I want closure, I want immediate answers, and the steepest hill I climb following Jesus is in waiting and making peace with his timing and methods. And there's been times when I've exploded on my Lord as much as I've exploded on any human being, because I don't understand why he hasn't been there when by my mind and my reason he needed to be. And the neat thing is he never kicked me out and he never punished me. He let me yell and scream and carry me when I needed it and then bring me to that point where I can say without failure after almost 50 years in this life, all things do work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. To those who trust God and are called according to his purpose. Here's a lesson. Our Heavenly Father's timing is always right, even though it's usually slow. We'll make the biggest mistakes of our life when we take matters into our own hands, when we become so angry and hurt, we no longer will wait on the Lord and will even violate his commandments to get to that goal that we think we deserve. Samuel's message to Saul was right. Saul, you have done foolishly. You see, God intended to use this crisis to establish Saul as a man of faith in the eyes of his troops. A leader who would dare face impossible odds and even defeat, believing that God would use a defeat in that battle rather than him violate a commandment in front of the men who trusted him. How many mistakes do we need to make before we learn to wait on the Lord? He will not be rushed. Many things in life take time. The preemie ward at Stanford Hospital shows what happens when a baby is born too soon, a parable of what happens when we try to shortcut God's plan for your life and mine. God is a God of order and timing. He's slow, but he's never late. So if you're tempted this morning to take action because you're tired, if you're ready to go jump off into some cliff of violation of God's commandments against what you know is right, our text says, don't. Listen to the wisdom from Proverbs. Trust in the Lord. Do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make straight your paths. The pressure of the urgent will always be at our door. Our senses will give us data telling us it's time to take the control and do something. Faith tells us, wait on the Lord. The psalmist told us in our other text for today, and this was the difference between King Saul and King David and why King David was a man after God's own heart. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. I know some of you are in miry bogs this morning. You're in pits. And it's easier for me to say, wait on the Lord, than it is for you to respond. But I trust the Holy Spirit will allow you to believe. God might seem slow, but he's never late. Stake your life on that truth. It's one of the most primary truths of our Christian gospel, and to his name be the glory. Amen.